are you people? It's Ro Concho with Anna DeVlantis for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Monday. Hope you're all enjoying spring in Chicago. It's very spring-like today.
Christmas right around the corner. I hope you got your shopping done.
It's so weird, doesn't it? More snow.
What flips you out is the fact that it's snowing and it's cold and It's that you know, the white sky winter.
Yes. When I woke up this morning, really daunting to see that.
But the sun's coming up at, 6:15 in the morning and it's going down at 7:30 at night. Right? So you're like, well, wait, what? This feels like nuclear winter to me.
Something's really funky about it, and I hope that it goes away soon.
I was swimming yesterday in an outdoor pool.
That's right. You were in Florida.
I was in Burbank.
Oh, Burbank, California. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Sorry.
Excuse us. I was in L.A. Hello.
Excuse us. Burbank,
but it was such... it was just so horrible to come back to this. Snow.
Well, at least you got to do it.
I know.
Listen how menacing she sounds when she's saying
this. This was horrible.
I'm gonna get that snow. No, seriously. It was like, what?
Well, but I get what you mean. Sometimes you take those breaks around this time because you think by the time you get back, we've turned the corner.
Right. It's April. You think, all right, even if it's not really warm,
it's 45,
not. Yeah,
fine.
It's not snowing.
Listen, Demetrius Ivory is going to join us in just a few minutes.
He's going to clear
talk
it all
about
up
this.
Not if I get to him first.
Find out when it's going to get warmer. Where the hell is Tom Skilling in a moment like this?
Yeah. Is this very peculiar week that he took off?
It seems like he always does this.
It does.
It's a bit. I take it as hazing of poor Demetrius. Like,
I think it's true.
Like, deal with this.
Yeah.
And then we ask him about it. He's like, no.
I have no idea this is coming.
You're the weatherman.
But maybe the weather just doesn't like when he leaves.
There's that possibility,
too. But there's weather wherever he is.
But maybe it's good weather.
We'll have to ask him.
Oh, I don't think that's the case. He wouldn't be the gazillionaire that he is today if he just covered good weather. Let me tell you something. They wouldn't be paying him in San Diego to do what he does.
No. He's very
75 and sunny.
Important here in Chicago.
Exactly right.
He's a big deal.
Yeah. That's right. Thanks, Jeff. It's a huge deal.
Huge deal.
Huge deal. By the way, listen, after 4:30 today, your chance to get a family four-pack of tickets to go see the beloved White Sox take on the Mariners, 4:10 p.m. on Tuesday, April 24th. Keep listening for that that sound that it makes here.
Oh.
The sounder.
Mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
The sound.
You'll know when you know.
You'll know when you hear it, you'll know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's your cue to call in to get your White Sox tickets all season long.
Very nice. Okay. A lot of people tried to go to Cubs games this weekend, and it was unsuccessful for some.
Well, the Saturday game goes down in Cubs lore. Those who sat and watched them come back from eight runs down in the bottom of the eighth, to go on and win the game, that's one of those moments that the Cubs fans will talk about forever and ever and ever. And especially since there was snow in the air, driving wind.
It's also one of those games where a whole lot of people are going to tell you we're there for years to come, but they weren't actually there. It's one of those games.
I remember that game.
Oh, I was there. I'll show you the ticket stub. I definitely did not leave in the third inning.
And was Sunday rained out?
Yeah.
Yesterday, because I was at the Museum of Science and Industry, and the entire place was Cubs fans in Cubs gear, and I was like, oh.
Well, their game tonight's also been postponed.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's also the difference between a Cubs and a Sox fan. Ah, it's cold. I gotta go.
I think both teams are suffering from a little weatheritis at the moment.
Sox haven't played since Thursday.
Right.
Crazy.
But they haven't had the option of staying. I'm saying the fans.
Oh, right.
All right, we'll get to all of this with Demetrius Ivory, who's coming your way, and just right after we find out from Judy if she can get her head out of the La La Land clouds. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN?
I just want to see the sun just once. Yes, President Trump's personal attorney forced to reveal another one of his clients.
Oh, and wait till you hear who it is.
Oh, gee.
Stay tuned, because wait till you hear who it is.
You say that like every other day. Wait till you hear this.
Yeah. Well, this one even shocked me. I mean, I don't know why it shocked me. It made total sense once I figured it out. But now I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, everyone's going to jail now.
Okay, now we're out of the news when Ro just said that.
Yeah. Right. But I'm just saying that I think that it's... this could not end well for the whole shooting match. But let's...
More at 3:30.
Yeah. people are like, who is it, Ro? Who is it?
Well,
this is,
yeah.
This is unfortunate.
Big reveal.
Yeah. Okay.
Today.
I'll say it, but then Judy will fill in
the
details.
Okay, go for it.
Sean Hannity.
What?
That was the Sean Hannity. That was the noise that they said you heard in the courtroom.
Yes, there was an audible gasp.
You're like, what? So who is this man who just wants to be anonymous?
This is Michael Cohen's attorney, Michael Cohen is the attorney for three people: Donald Trump, the dude on the West Coast,
the deputy finance guy who got the $1.6 million payout for the Playboy centerfold's love child abortion.
Who would
make this up?
No.
Who would need Michael Cohen as the fixer? Who would this man be?
Well, my mind went in a lot of directions, but it was right there in front of us.
Yeah.
Now, the Sean Hannity is to prove that he's not a fixer. That
he
has other clients, darn it.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity.
Because he needed him for a real estate closing?
I don't think so.
All right. Hold on a second. Here's Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots. All right. Here he is. Yes, Demetrius Ivory.
Now, we're not going to
hold you completely and fully responsible for everything that has happened here. But let's just put it this way. You're under suspicion. let's explain to us at the moment why it is that we're encountering this.
At this time of the year.
I don't know if he doesn't want to answer.
I think he cannot hear us. I think that
no,
might
I'm,
be part of the problem.
We're looking at a video of him right now, and he's looking around as if he's...
on the CLTV.
Sort of waiting.
Somebody check and see what's... Demetrius, we got you there?
He's just pretending he can't hear us. It's like when you don't want to answer the phone call.
No, or your mom's calling you.
I didn't hear a ring.
I only hear our guys here.
It's like, you get down here now! And you pretend not to hear.
Until they're like, something good. Tell him something good, maybe then he'll answer.
Demetrius, you're looking very handsome today. I like the selection of the shirt.
Interesting. I hear you over air through our control room, but I think we're having some issues
yes,
with the audio right
it
now.
Does, it does. All right, so I'm gonna
that worked, though.
Hold on. I'm going to yell at you back here so you can hear it.
Like,
why is it like Christmas out right now?
No, he's not going to answer that one.
No, give him a nicer one.
No,
I'm going to try another
one. Pass on that one.
Demetrius, did you have a nice weekend?
Where they can't hear anything and they just always look. But I can't hear right now.
Sure you can.
How are the kiddos, Demetrius? Love to see a picture sometime. Really look cute.
Classic dodging the tough questions.
Yes, I know. We have to do a puff interview with Demetrius because the weather's so bad outside.
He's avoiding it.
All right. So, you know what we're going to do here? We're going to see if we can. I don't know why we can't get this. Can the GNTV control room hear us? And why are they not adjusting to this? Okay.
Maybe it's a snowstorm outside.
Right. They have too much to do with the weather.
We got some weather interference here.
All right. Please, WGNTV newsroom, please cue Demetrius when you fixed it.
IFB. All right. You want an IFB?
Oh,
I'm
so going to
turn him off right now while
he
they're.
He totally can't.
Yeah, now, they,
let's
got
see,
a,
yeah, let
now
him,
they have a technician that. I like when this happens, too. The technician starts to dig into the back of your pants.
Uh huh. And yeah. It's totally normal because they're trying to stuff the IFB so it'll sit in there and not fall off.
Right. For girls, though, it's normally in their tops.
You can do it in your top, or if you have a belt, then okay. If there's something on your dress, your boots.
A lot of women wear in their boots.
You kind of just make it work. Yeah. But the idea is for the cord not to show, so you gotta try
I can hear Fawn.
No.
You can hear what?
Hey, Fawn. He said he could hear Fawn.
Fawn doesn't count right now.
Fawn, tell Demetrius just to answer one question and then we can move on.
If you can hear us, Fawn.
Don't just talk about the weather. He doesn't even have to listen to our questions.
Ask him why it's April 16th and the weather is like this. Fun.
Demetrius, blink three times if you can hear us.
Do I have to pay my taxes tomorrow if the weather is still like winter?
No, it's a snow day.
I wonder if, there's like a weather excuse.
A tax day snow day. I love it.
Yeah, there might be a weather excuse.
Okay.
Probably not.
Because you had the rest of the year to do it, but...
Yeah.
The weather hasn't been great this whole year, let's be
right. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the whole thing makes me sick.
I'm getting a refund.
Where are you taking us? We'll jump in the...
No, I have to pay my bills.
Oh. It's too bad.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes you can do.
Apparently, the emergency room's not covered in some stuff on my insurance. Would have appreciated to know that before, but
the emergency room?
When were you the?
When were you?
My corneal abrasion.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
we thought you made that up.
Right. We did think you made that up.
No, I wish I did. I have this huge bill now. Dang.
Oh, how's the how's the
my
cornea?
My corneal abrasion.
That sounds terrible. Yeah. That sounds really painful.
Is it? You're fine now, though.
No, I'm fine now. It
weren't
was...
you like fine like the, an hour later?
Yeah,
no,
you came to
I
work.
Was fine. I came to work because I'm a trooper. But my I had a corneal abrasion and it hurt a lot. And I mean, it could have been more serious, but it wasn't. Remember, I got hit in the face with the lime.
Limegate 2018. I remember.
I'll never forget. Yeah. Wait, yeah. Hold on. Demetrius, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Oh!
Oh.
See what just
there
happened
he
there?
Is.
All right, we worked it out.
Yeah.
So too bad you had to yeah. listen to Violetta's story of a corneal abrasion that didn't really happen.
It did happen.
She got hit in the face with a lime during a drinking incident.
Oh, my God.
Really?
All right, yeah.
I didn't know she ever got out, quite honestly.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah.
It's funny because I see reporters sometimes out there where there's mistakes, and they always look so good with this stone face. And they keep nodding their head yes, uh-huh. and it looks great. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't hear anything.
No, I totally understand. I don't know exactly what occurred there, but we got it all worked out.
We
okay.
have like five different connections here, and they're all from like the 80s. So that's, you know.
Right.
That could do it.
So he's actually hearing Wally Phillips talk to him right now, which is kind of weird. I think that's very strange. All right, Kate, can we just answer this one quick question for us?
No.
Okay. There we go. Demetrius Avery, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. Why is it like this?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to ask, is it about the warm-up? That's what everyone keeps saying, and I'm like, no. We're looking at just cold impact, like cold pockets of air that just keep making their way through here. As cold as it is for us, it's been warm out to the southwest, and it's been extremely cold across portions of eastern Canada. And we just can't break this pattern here. And there's no break at all this week. We expect another chance for snow Wednesday going on into Thursday, as we're going to be looking at that again. Just the cold air is going to stick around until the weekend. Then temperatures are going to reach the 50s again. But you know what? That's still some almost 10 degrees cooler than normal. So we are just kind of stuck in a rut there. That with the cold air to our north, and things haven't changed. There's a lot of blocking going on in the atmosphere. And so when that happens, it's kind of like a traffic jam. And unfortunately, we're on the cold side of the traffic jam.
Oh, I saw a story about how it's really affecting business, because by now a lot of the outdoor patios are seating people, and you know there's gardening businesses in full swing, and that it's, you know, that's it's not good for business. By now everyone is usually in somewhat of a spring mode, even if it isn't really warm.
So. And you know, typically it's too early. It would be too early to plant. But as you mentioned, you know, all of the leaf
preparing.
I saw some guys cleaning up leaves in the snow the other day. I mean, there had to be an inch of snow on the ground, and they had the leaf blowers out, and they were just saying, you know what, we're just going to do it anyway.
This is also it's distressing, because what occurs here is a lack of extra bonus days of summer for us. We generally get some days in the 70s. People go out and do stuff outside or whatever. Maybe they golf or they play tennis, whatever they want to do outside. And they don't get to do it. And you always feel like you're sneaking something when the leaves aren't on the trees yet. Mm-hmm. And you're still living like it's summer. And we're not. So that has been stolen from us today, Demetrius.
It kind of has.
Well, you know what? Typically, we get our first 70-degree day around March 31st. Our first 80-degree day around April 21st. So we are.
We're way behind.
Yeah, we're way behind.
And the trees are confused, because you could see they're budding because the light is right for them.
Yeah.
But the trees here are smart, because they've been through 100 of these things and they know, and they're holding. They're holding back.
They totally are.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see some green.
Yeah. So, I think the animals too. When you look at the birds, and they just kind of look at you like, seriously.
Come on.
I came up here from Florida.
Yes, this was not easy.
What did you guys do when I was gone?
It's funny how the birds, the birds and your grandparents all come up here from Florida. It's weird around this time of year.
They don't time it right. This is not the right time.
And they're all complaining. They're all looking at you like, what am I going to do?
Oh no. Well, we love it when the snowbirds come back, and it's like, yeah,
yeah. You remember this?
Yeah. Scheduled it every year.
Yeah,
right?
closed that house, didn't you? That's what you did.
Yeah.
You closed that house.
And to stare at all those pictures of you playing tennis, all tan and everything.
Yeah, not
enjoy this.
Enough. But it does look like we warm up a little bit this weekend. Still,
but not
though,
enough.
Still, though, cooler than normal.
And then next week, still back into the 40s, right?
At least it looks. Right now, this far out.
Could this just break at any moment, though? Could this blocking pattern?
Not over the next week. You know, a blocking pattern is huge, it's large scale, it's way up in the atmosphere, and when it does break, it's one of those things too where when it does break, everyone who said it was about to break is like, there I go, I told you. But for the next month, you know, they're going to say it every day. Mm-hmm. You know, we just kind of
could this last through May too? Is it these things
it
go
can
that
certainly
long?
Last into May. I don't think it'll last that long. Usually a couple of weeks tops. I don't think it's.
But we've already been 3 weeks into this thing, haven't we?
We have, but you know, it's one of those things where there's always an excuse, right? I mean, it's you know, it's the blocking pattern one day, then there's a low pressure system south of us the next day. There's always some excuse, and it all just kind of works out to this April, 10 degrees colder than normal already, and that's significant.
And the fourth coldest April on record.
Well, I didn't look at that one yet. Yeah. Boy.
There you go. I stole that from another meteorologist.
Oh, really?
Good. Yeah. You can use it, Demetrius.
I'm getting a lot of that. Aaron asked me the other day, like, oh, you didn't tell me it was going to snow like this. And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Because she wasn't watching? Was that the problem?
She wasn't paying attention.
I don't think she was watching. There's a show that comes on a different channel that she loves.
Oh, see, now that's... See,
ouch.
Oh, she thinks she's
going to... You allow
get,
that?
No, you know what? She thinks she's going to get it at home anyway. She's like, he'll just tell me.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to watch because he'll just tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've spent my whole life like that. And let me tell you something. It doesn't work like that. People, yeah. You got to pay attention. I'm not repeating it when I get home.
There's one show.
What happened?
Why are you so quiet at home when all you're doing is talking all day long for a living? All right, Demetrius.
All right. I'm going to make sure I can hear you next time.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys.
All right. There goes Demetrius Avery. You can see him tonight starting at 4 o'clock, 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 on the WGN TV News.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got Judy Parallax News coming your way in two just tiny little minutes. Rokan Show. With Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, Brad Garrett, formerly with the FBI and now an ABC News consultant, is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And Brad, thank you so much for being with us.
Mm-hmm.
As I know your day is coming to an end at ABC News, and you made a little extra time for us. So we really appreciate it. I got a couple questions for you because one of the things the sense that we get, and I want to start with the Michael Cohen investigation before we get to what you saw last night on TV concerning Mr. Comey. Michael Cohen is in court today, and it appears that he has been under investigation by federal agents operating for the Southern District of New York now for a number of months, and that they may have intercepted months worth of emails that Michael Cohen was sending and receiving, and perhaps they were overhearing. It's unclear exactly to the extent of what how much leeway they got in their warrants, but they certainly have been surveilling him. Now,
go ahead.
You want to clarify anything there?
Well, no, other than I want to make one point that to have been able to get a warrant to go into Cohen's office, home, etc., they would have had to have a substantial amount of evidence, not just Stormy Daniels. And so I want you to kind of start there, to sort of tie into what you're saying, that they've been on to him for a period of time and have collected, I'm going to guess, a fair amount of evidence.
So this big issue today about whether Michael Cohen is a business associate or a lawyer for Donald Trump, and if he's a lawyer, is he a fixer or a lawyer? And that there's really no legal way to define that, but it's sort of like profanity, I suppose. They'll know it when they see it. The question is how much of this can eventually come out if he was being overheard, especially an electronic overhear, and he was talking to the president of the United States. Does the president get to invoke executive privilege on that?
I'm not really sure because think about it this way. Clearly, if they had conversations where Cohen was providing legal counsel or they were talking about some legal issue in reference to the president, they probably can't use that. But if it's true that a big chunk of their conversations are just conversations about a business deal, about whatever, you know, some of that may well be fair game. So, the president, I guess, to claim executive privilege would maybe have to throw in that it had something to do with national security. I don't know. My guess is he may well try that,
yeah.
But I'm not sure that it will hold up.
They're not going to just roll. So the one thing I've learned about Donald Trump here is he's not going to just roll over and say, no, okay, go ahead and take it. I mean, they're gonna try and take this as far as they possibly can to stop it.
Well, what kind of charges is Cohen actually looking at right now in terms of the criminal acts that might have occurred here or that they would be going after?
Tax fraud, wire fraud, probably anything that has to do with potential extortion, if in fact he's been the strong arm to get people to do things and it steps over some legal boundary. So I think it's going to be things in that category. As you both may well know, he has been or still is actively involved in the taxi business in some form or fashion in New York. Is there anything tied into that? Because I'm going to guess most of this is not really focused on the president. It's really more focused on Cohen and his behavior.
Yeah. I think there's going to be some questions here. And I think that the Sean Hannity situation raises an interesting specter, which is, were there in-kind campaign contributions here? Were there things like, for example, that's one of the centerpieces of the Stormy Daniels thing, because nobody really cares about the sex piece, but the potential criminality here is that Michael Cohen paid that money to shut her up as a campaign contribution. And Sean Hannity's relationship, now Sean Hannity denies that he ever had Michael Cohen represent him in any matter, and he never retained him, and he never received an invoice or legal did he pay legal fees?
No. Yeah.
Now, that might sound good in an opening statement, but he might have just walked his way into some legal jeopardy here, because if he received any of that stuff for free from Michael Cohen, was that in exchange for some consideration by Sean Hannity for his work in media? In other words, is there a possibility that he changed his coverage scheme of the White House because he was receiving something from Michael Cohen? I mean, that becomes a question.
Of course, and that is a possibility. But also keep in mind that if Hannity had conversations with Cohen that really had nothing to do with attorney-client privilege stuff, in other words, he's just calling him about whatever, that's going to be, if there's any potential criminality in that, that's going to be potentially fair game as far as the government is concerned. So just keep that in mind. To go back to what you said originally, Ro, that a lot of Cohen's activities, maybe with the president and other people, is not lawyer stuff. It's more business stuff. It's more, you know, fixer stuff, you know, things that have nothing to do with, you know, the most people's definition of attorney-client privilege.
Right.
Yeah. It certainly seems as if Hannity, just from a journalistic standpoint, I know he's an opinion guy on Fox, but should have revealed that he knew Michael Cohen, and all the times he's mentioned Michael Cohen and defended him and defended his defense of the president. It just seems like that should have come up.
Well, you do wonder if Fox News is going, because Fox News, when they do get, you know, pushed up against situations like this, have taken action.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see how they decide to play this particular thing. But there's more to come on that story throughout the afternoon. All right, I want to ask you about James Comey last night. Obviously, you watched the Stephanopoulos interview with him. And your thoughts, formerly, you know, you spent many years in the FBI yourself. And so now the question is, as a former FBI agent, what was your take on watching an FBI, the head guy of the FBI, an FBI director, say the things that he said?
Well, you know, you have to start with, you know, people's previous behavior to look at their current behavior. You know, he has a track record of being an exceptional prosecutor, honest, hardworking, articulate. He's a guy that can lay out the facts, do an analysis of the facts, and it all logically goes together. And he did that, I think, quite well for George last night. So, you know, you've got that side. And so, you know, then the question is, you know, do you believe him, not believe him? I mean, he's just not a guy that makes stuff up. And if the president said X, Y, and Z in a conversation, my guess is he said X, Y, and Z. I mean, I just don't see Comey sort of fabricating things that the president said or didn't say. And I'm not sure he'd have any real motive to do that.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to get to, and I know that maybe you don't want to do this, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. Your reaction, just as a citizen, as a human being, as a former FBI agent, to what you were watching last night, was it? Because I think there are a lot of us who've, you know, have covered news and covered events for a long time, and just people who living their lives as Americans who watch these events that are being covered, who had a bit of an out of body experience when you stop and you think about the context of what was happening last night, that it's an FBI director talking about the president of the United States. It was, it really, we've gotten so numb to the surreal nature of this, but true. It's pretty surreal.
There's no question about it. I think Comey even said that himself. It's like, I never thought in my lifetime I would ever have conversations saying the things that he was saying last night. I mean, it's pretty much unheard of. I mean, you know, historically we've had presidents do some pretty odd and or criminal things over the years, but never things that we're hearing that he said to Comey or perhaps to other people. I mean, it's just, it is absolutely bizarre that any of these conversations are occurring, but clearly they are. And I'm hoping that people at least listen to that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to believe everything Comey said, but it's really important to understand there's something going on here. And people yeah. need to understand that.
Yeah. There you said it.
Comey is a witness, though. You know, there people are saying that this 300-page book is now his testimony, and let's hope it matches up perfectly with what he told Mueller. Is there any danger there with this being an active, open investigation that he is part of, maybe even central to, in terms of obstruction of justice, if that were a charge that Mueller was looking at, and him coming out and taking this public stance?
I don't think at the end of the day. He is so good yeah. at sort of splitting the hair of giving you the information, but not giving you the minutia. In other words, the stuff, maybe the more pieces of detail, the nuances of it that he didn't talk about, that he probably did talk about with Mueller's prosecutors. So I guarantee you he's also, because he's so smart and he's a prosecutor, that he has vetted all that.
Yeah.
That what he said in the book and what he said to George is that line of, the public, you need to know this, but I'm only going to go so far with it because then that could get into compromise land down the road.
Right.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it, Brad. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
Brad Garrett, formerly of the FBI, now with ABC News. Judy was coming up.
Get up! Get on your feet! You had best un*** yourself or I will unscrew your head and down your neck!
Sir, yes, sir!
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved cult?
Sir, to kill, sir!
So you're a killer?
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face.
Sir!
You got a war face? Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face!
Ah!
Bullshit, you didn't convince me! Let me see your real war face!
Ah!
You don't scare me! Work on it!
Sir, yes, sir!
It's so great.
It's the now the late great Arlie Ermey, and I want to spend a few minutes talking about him and his legacy and his role in the life of this radio show over the last about 20 years ago. He first appeared on this program at its other place, and we it became a tradition, really, to have him be part of our Christmas. You know,
think warm and fuzzy when you think of Arlie Ermey.
Richard Roper is here because Richard Roper had a very special place in the Gunny, as he liked to be called, the Gunny's heart. As a matter of fact, here's just a little soundbite for you.
Is that Richard there with you?
Yeah, there's Richard Roper right here with me.
Yeah, the Richard, the smart of the pair, as far as I'm concerned, the film critics. Richard, you were always spot on, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
what an astute judge of talent, among other things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, he was. And I thought we would spend a little time talking about how important he actually ended up being in late 20th century American movie making.
Absolutely.
A lot of people don't know the story. He discussed it a number of times with us on the air and then off the air. He rotated out of the Marines. First of all, he got sentenced to the Marines. He didn't join the Marines. I got to go do this. It was a judge told him he had to go do this or he had to go to jail. A
couple choices here.
Yeah. And so he did. And he ended up really, it saved his life. It changed his life. And he was forever grateful to his experience in the Marines. And he was always, one of the things that always struck me, and there were times that we were traveling together on a plane or we'd go through an airport. And he, whether it was a TSA officer or a police officer, anybody who was doing government service, I'm assuming maybe save the IRS officer, he was incredibly respectful of anybody who wanted to, you know, take the short money and do the job so that we're all better off and safer.
Absolutely.
And he would stop and take pictures with anybody. I mean, he was just an amazingly generous figure in a lot of ways, and a really humble, despite what you just, you know, you hear in his work, a really humble and honorable guy. He claimed, and one of the reasons I wanted Richard to be here for this, because you were there at the scene of the crime when this happened to us.
This sounds dangerous.
Well, there were a number of crimes over the years that Lee and I perpetrated, but this was one that kind of made it a bit of an issue. He was very political, especially later in his career, and he was a very conservative guy. Almost to a point of, you know, sort of like the conservative populism that has now become very, very popular. And he did not like Barack Obama. Let me just say that.
He made that pretty clear.
Did not like Barack Obama. And he was on our Christmas show. Because this whole thing started back
How did that start?
Okay.
Because why would you bring Harley Ermey on for Christmas? He just seems like the guy that would shout at you and not be sing Christmas carols with you. I don't know how this happened.
There's a great scene from Full Metal Jacket where they're at Christmas morning, they're singing Happy Birthday to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It started in 1997. I first met him when he was doing a movie called Prefontaine, which was a story about Steve Prefontaine, who was a sort of a, it's an obscure sports figure, Steve Prefontaine, but he played an important role in the development of track and field and of Nike shoes specifically. So Lee got hired to play Bill Bowerman, who was the coach at University of Oregon track team. Now, somehow, some way, two movies, Richard will remember this, there were two movies about Steve Prefontaine.
Two movies about Pre, as they called him.
That came out almost simultaneously. So Lee played Bill Bowerman in one, and a little guy named Donald Sutherland played Bill Bowerman in the other one. So the Steve James, the great Chicago producer, was producing the Prefontaine movie with Lee. And I happened to have gotten to know Steve a little bit, and they said, hey, you know, we got this Lee Ermey available to do interviews because he wanted to get, it was awards consideration time.
Sure.
And they wanted to do it. And I was like, yeah, okay. I love him. He changed my life. When I saw Full Metal Jacket for the first time in a theater, in a movie theater, it changed my life. You can't, you can't blink during that opening scene.
So good. Right. You can watch it over and over and over again.
He's just the best. And so there was, and so I thought, I'm such a huge fan. So we started playing on the radio show. We started playing audio like that from Full Metal Jacket. Just those scenes, those crazy scenes of him, you know, parading around and the things that he said to people.
Using them as drops when using them as some drops kind of situation.
Generally, it was like, you know, it was sort of making fun of me. Like, you know, how would I handle this? Right,
you were in the role of Private Joker most of the time, basically.
Right, it's sort of like I would whine about the weather, and then
God was here before the Marine Corps, so you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to the Corps.
Ooh. Hello.
So there was moments like that. So this is important. So we started playing these things, and then we got the interview with him, and we just kept playing them. And we were heading into the Christmas season, and we were going to go do one of those first. It was the first time that we ever went out and did a big Christmas show in a remote location. And we were able to get Lee to agree to do it, but we didn't tell the audience that we were going to do it.
No.
And but Lee said, in order for me to do this, you have to make this a Toys for Tots event.
How sweet. What a heart.
And because he was coming to Chicago to do this Toys for Tots motorcycle parade. And so we said, yeah, sure, great. And we raised like 500 toys that day. Incredible. And we didn't tell anybody that he was going to be there. And then we just started doing that bit again about, you know, me complaining about something and then them playing sound bites of Full Metal Jacket. And so, and the cue was always, whether it was when I was working with Gary Meyer at the time, and Gary or Jim Johnson would say, I wonder what Sergeant Hartman would say about this. And instead of playing the drop, he pops up out of the audience. We had snuck him in the darkness to the audience. And he came up doing that whole, I am your gunnery sergeant, you know, gunnery sergeant Hartman sort of thing. Crowd went wild.
Beautiful.
And from that moment forward, he did all of these shows with us. And then we became friends and we, you know, worked on projects together and things like that. But he was, he just loved being here. And I don't remember too much else that happened that weekend because we ended up going out and the party started at that show and it didn't end until the following Tuesday.
Well, when he'd come into town, he'd attach himself to Ro, Anna, and everybody. It was very sweet, actually. But it was like, so yeah, he'd be on the show, but then he'd be like, now what are we going to do? Where are we going next? Where are we going for dinner? And then Ro'd be like, I'm going home. Great, I'll come with you. I mean, he would just be with him the entire time. He was just so enamored with Ro.
Yeah.
It was very, very
well,
nice.
You brought him in once when I was here with you, and I remember, I could tell you guys had this friendship. I think he was talking more politics, as I remember correctly, last time.
Oh, yeah.
He came on, he was very...
Oh, yeah.
Spoken.
Yeah, do we have that the clip about how he feels about he was pro bullying. You know,
really?
It is not the kind of political position that most people take.
Everyone's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy. Why don't we teach our kids how to lose gracefully? Because there's going to come a time in their life when they do lose, and they won't be able to cope with it because they've never done that before. Nothing earned, always given. Why put out any effort? What message are we sending? Shut up and get in step, comrade. That's what the message is that we're sending to our men-childs.
So it was 2011. We were doing the Christmas show, and at these Christmas shows, we were getting about 1,000 people. And I, I did not take it as any kind of an insult that many of them were there to see him.
And
they would all bring toys, and we would raise about 1,000 toys per show.
And that was his idea. How cool is that?
Yeah,
wanted to make. Was he already very involved with Toys for Tots before that, and just wanted to?
Yeah. Well, like he's, you know,
charity component,
right? I mean, he's I believe, if I am not mistaken, he's the only Marine in the history of the Corps to be to actually get a promotion after he had left the Marine Corps while he was still alive. He was promoted after his service to gunnery sergeant because he left. He was a master sergeant, so. He was really, because he was such an important recruiting tool because of Full Metal Jacket and stuff like that. So anyway, so we're out doing the show at the casino, the Horseshoe Casino. And we had that beautiful event space there, that theater. And we had about 1,000 people in attendance. And it was on TV as well, because we were on channel 5.2 that point. And so they recorded all 4 hours. They ran it live for the 4 hours, and then they recorded it. And it was a crazy, over-the-top. It was the biggest show we'd ever done like this. We had Richard Marx and his band.
Oh, yeah.
Fee Wabel from The Tubes was there.
Oh, my gosh.
Matt Scannell from Vertical Horizon. And then Lee.
Yeah.
And so Lee comes out, and we always did this thing where we'd introduce him to the stage, and we'd do the Patton thing where he had a big flag in back of him. And then to the sound of Painted Black, he would march out and then with his own microphone, and we just let him go.
Yeah.
And he'd say whatever he wanted to say. Well, that day, he he said a few things. And he then referred to what we have here with Barack Obama is we have ourselves a socialist. And the crowd goes, you know, fairly wild when he says it. Uh-huh. And the and then a couple of other sort of politically incorrect things just about, you know, where we are. We got to stop him, blah, 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 things like that.
Sure.
So he sits back down. I'll never forget the look on Richard's face. Yeah. Because he sits back down with us at the desk after he's done with this thing.
Said my part.
And Richard gives me that look, you know, that only you can have in a moment like this where he goes, I got nothing here. Do not draw me into this.
The views just expressed on this program are not necessarily.
Right.
You know, that's all we could say.
I think we always knew. I mean, that doesn't mean we can't be friends. We can't, you know, all views are welcome.
Yeah.
Even if they're a little, you know, over the top. Anyway, so we finished the interview, and the partying as always began. But then the thing is that Fee Wabel, the guy from the Tubes, mm-hmm. Was backstage, and he was going to come on and do Lust for Life because he's like a contemporary of Iggy Pop, and they play together and stuff, and it was fun. And so Fee was so offended by what Gunnery Sergeant Hartman had said, who was really Lee Ermey on the stage. He rips off his shirt and goes, if he's a socialist, I'm a socialist too, and I love it. And he rips into Lust for Life.
Oh my gosh.
And this whole thing, again.
This is a Christmas party.
Yeah,
was
exactly.
A Christmas special.
Bring those toys up for little Zachary and Zoe. You know?
Right. On NBC5.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. We then went on vacation for 2 weeks for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so NBC did not have any programming to run in the, you know, from 2 to 6 every afternoon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they just kept rerunning that show every single day.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
And they didn't want to cut any of it
because
they couldn't afford the time.
There wasn't anybody there to cut it.
So I get back from Christmas vacation, and I get a phone call, and my voicemail at work, and it was the office of the Commandant of the Marine Corps.
Oh, gee.
And he wants, I had to call back. And I spoke to a person at the office of the Commandant of the Marine Corps. Not sure if it was the Commandant or not. I didn't ask.
No.
That must have been comfortable.
Yeah. And they wanted to know if Lee was representing the United States Marine Corps when he was there. Was he in uniform? Was he? They had a lot of questions. And there was like a huge hue and cry. So that the tape of that had gotten out. Uh-huh. That he was at that point doing, as you recall, maybe a Geico commercial. Remember, what if a gunnery sergeant was a therapist and he threw the Kleenex box at a guy's head for whining?
Yeah,
right. So that went away. A couple of other things.
$1 million for about 3 days' work on his Geico commercial. We've had all the greats in the fallen insurance commercials. Gilbert Gottfried was that on with us shortly thereafter.
Yes,
no longer saying Aflac. So
it's true. So anyway,
oh my god,
we got so he and it went through all of this, and I was, you know, I'm like, sir, when I was talking to the Marines, I'm like, I don't know, that's, you know, all I know is we have him in. He does every year. This is great for Toys for Tots. Thank you for all of your service, sir. And I've got to run. And it's funny because that they he did other stuff. He was on the History Channel. He continued on with his career, but there was that little kerfuffle that happened right then and there. And what were we going to do? I mean, I was like James Comey. I'm like, I'm not going to cut the tape, right? I mean, it's, you know.
It happened.
How do you do that? Yeah.
But
did you think no one would notice that part?
No, we knew.
Well, we knew you were putting it out there in the universe and just see what happens.
I didn't realize that NBC was going to run it for two and a half straight weeks afterwards. You know, and so I thought, well, you know, you say it, you know, people see it or they don't see it. I don't know. Maybe they miss it. You know, whatever.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Turned out it was a big deal.
Yeah, it turned out to be a big deal. but we went on. He was a very, very, very great friend, a very great sort of mentor. I think we mentored each other in some weird way.
That's interesting.
You know, it was a...
He was 74.
74 years old, yeah. And lived an incredible life. I mean, the stories, we had some legendary stories together. Things that we should probably have not done. Mm-hmm. Things that I will put, and I'm going to write something about it, and I'll run past his estate to make sure that it's okay. but it's nothing illegal. But it was just like crazy. I mean, when we were together, we lived a very crazy, you know.
So he lived.
Yeah.
He really lived.
Yep.
Enjoyed his life. I mean, my gosh, you think about the range of experiences from being a Marine and then you know, being in Hollywood.
Yes. Well, and he was a conservative in Hollywood, which was not an easy place to be. All right, Richard's going to tell us about some of his contribution to film here, too, because we did that when he was with us as well. Mm-hmm. And when I say crazy things, a lot of it was just alcohol-fueled. I think that explains everything that you need to understand about that.
Mm-hmm. We're with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank God. That's all I'm going to say. Thank God. Thank God we didn't do it in this era. Yeah. That's all I want to say.
Just before, really, Twitter was taken off. Everything else.
So you're safe.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Judy, tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Did we ever have any problems about bullying when we were kids? Of course not. Why? Because somebody come up and start bullying me, I'd punch their damn lights out, you know?
There he is.
This is the way to handle it.
The great Lee Ermey, dead at the age of 74. More on him in the top five. Richard Roper is here because we spent a number of time, I mean, over 20 years, spent a lot of time with Lee, but you were with us for the last number of years of that. And I, people always think about him as this character on television, too, and from Full Metal Jacket, but he was in a lot of other important films.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I want to get into if we have a chance. That as great as that role was, you know, every single headline and lead in the obituaries and tributes was about Full Metal Jacket. And in some ways, that is not entirely fair. Of course, it's his greatest and most memorable role, but there was so much more to his acting repertoire and to that performance that I think sometimes he doesn't even get enough credit for that performance because people say, oh, he's just playing himself, and that's not really the case.
No, it's not true. How he got that role is actually
that's interesting.
Pretty interesting, too. All right, stick right here, and we'll come back. We also have Steve Stone coming up and White Sox tickets to give away. Your chance to rip us off for a family four-pack coming up right after Judy Pilak's news right now. Brought to you by Townstone Financial. Yeah, it's a Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, the studio is full because I need all my people around me today. We got Mr. Richard Roper. We got Kevin Powell with us right now. Of course, Violetta back in her traffic nook. And then Judy Pilak on news. And Steve Stone on sports analysis for our beloved Chicago White Sox, who are scheduled tonight, Mr. Stone, to take on the Oakland Athletics. But they're calling for a very cold night. Which, of course, you've played in Oakland and San Francisco before. It can get very cold there, but also some rain. Yeah. What do we know?
Well, anything less than a blizzard is really good. And right now, amazingly enough, the sun is shining. There will be baseball one way or the other, and the weather is supposed to get pretty nice the next couple of days. Nicer, apparently, than the weather forecast that I heard. So you do have a cast of thousands.
Yes.
You and Richard and Anna and Kevin, how are you having all that room in the studio? Did you guys expand?
Yes, we did. It's GN. You know, Steve, we've all stepped up in our careers to come over to GN, haven't we?
That's true, Steve. We
do that, and it's back to the future for me. So I'm very much enjoying it.
Yeah, that's true.
We've even invited the guy with the M&M jacket to sit with us here in the studio, like he always does at the game, Steve.
George Jacobs, you can't beat it. Free pub is better than no pub.
That's what they say. So this must have been a very frustrating thing for the franchise, though, over the last couple of days, because, you know, they only getting a game in essentially out of a four game set up in Minneapolis. And they knew this was going to be a problem. And I think that there was some sort of an appeal, you know, to try to double up at least on Thursday and MLB. MLB's got a thing about now game cancellation. Right. They're in charge of it.
Right. And, you know, the idea of adjusting on the fly just has eluded them. And so one of the things that should have been done, that could have been done, that wasn't done, it would be very nice to take both teams and take us to Milwaukee and actually play four games under a dome in Milwaukee. That would have been good. That means no cancellations. Instead, we had three taken out. And as far as Minnesota is concerned, they're in Puerto Rico. They're going there to play the Indians for a couple of games before returning home. So for them, like everybody else, it's really piling up as far as the makeups and everything along those lines. This gentleman falls into the category of be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. They wanted four extra off days from 8 to 12 off days, and in the collective bargaining agreement, they did. They got 12 off days. Mm. The only problem is with spring training starting earlier and the season starting a week earlier, and combination of this is some of the worst weather that I've ever seen, you're going to wind up now with not only no off days increased, but you're going to wind up with double headers in areas that you never really thought you should double them up. But I thought they got at least the Minnesota games. I thought they came in kind of seamlessly. There's a couple at the end of the year. Who knows if they're going to matter. Won't matter to our ball club, but I think they'll matter to Minnesota, so you have to play them. And then there's another day, I guess, in August where they're filling that. So right now there's four games that have to be made up, and we will make them up in the form of doubleheaders or off days, and that's just the way it is. So, boys, I'll tell you one thing that I've said from the time that I was a very little baseball player with that very little professional uniform. If you can find a job where you work for six and they pay you for 12, don't leave that job.
That's true. How about that?
And one of them is, you know, you got to play them all the time.
Yeah, great point. Steve, you make a great point about moving some of these games. And, you know, perhaps in the future, Major League Baseball will think about building that into the schedule from the start. In other words, you know that you're going to have more games in places like Puerto Rico or Milwaukee when the Brewers are on the road so that you could avoid this. And you're right, this is one of the worst springs ever, but the first couple of weeks in April are almost always brutal.
Well, they are. And, you know, there's another factor here. It started with Bud Selig, who had a far vision as far as the game was concerned. One of the things that he always talked about was the internationalization of baseball. With that in mind, we'll probably see a few more games being played in Mexico. I'm not sure if they'll go all the way to Mexico City because that has inherent problems, both in congestion and, as you know, kidnapping is a cottage industry there. And so I think that might be problematic, but I do believe baseball wants to expand. Right now, quite obviously, Ohtani is all the rage. And so with Japan now becoming a huge factor as far as providing major league players to baseball, what's going to happen is this, guys. You know, with MLB.com, and bear in mind that baseball sold, I believe, a third of MLB.com to Disney. And I think they got about $100 million per club. It was like a $3 billion deal. Hmm. They still retain two-thirds of it. Imagine just for a moment if you had one Yao Ming who played baseball, not necessarily that big, but one Ohtani, one Darvish, one Ichiro, and bring them from China. Imagine how many computers, how many sets of eyes could then get the MLB package and actually watch their Chinese hero baseball player. Yeah. All of a sudden burst upon the scene. Hmm. And after the Olympics in China, they switched over all of their facilities that were used for Olympic training into baseball facilities. And it's not going to be today, might not be tomorrow, but it's going to be soon. Hmm. And when it does, there's going to be a wave of international popularity that we've never seen before. That's all it takes is one Ichiro, one Ohtani coming from China, and we've got a whole new world.
Well, I have to say, it was interesting in L.A. when Ohtani is pitching. The advertising behind the plate, behind home plate that you see from the center field camera, which is electronically added to the screen, is Japanese.
Wow.
It's for Japanese products.
Wow.
I mean, that is an amazing
incredible
thing. And that's
very cool.
Tells you something.
It is very cool because, I mean, baseball should be. This is one of the ways, I think, to keep baseball, growing and completely relevant in America. And
internationally.
But that's the point, is to make it so international that it becomes a point of national pride here. And that to me is it's a pretty, pretty great thing here. So
we'll understand something. First of all, this is not a magnanimous gesture. This is a money-making proposition.
I get it.
And what's happening in baseball is this, and I'm all for that because I happen to be one of those who really enjoy the capitalist system. However, what will happen in this is that eventually we're going to see more and more interest. And right now we've got 27% Latino in this game. Unfortunately, the African-American participation has gone down to right a little above 8%. But what's going to happen is, as we see more people coming from the Pacific Rim, if we see more people coming from Cuba and more people, if possible, coming from the Dominican and from all the Caribbean, what's happened is the amount of American players has decreased. And it's decreased because of what I'm talking to you on, the cell phone, the iPad, all of the things that technology provides to all of us that's so nice, where their players are playing baseball 12 months a year. Our people are on Xbox, and they're on their iPads, and they're on their smartphones, and they're not playing baseball. And the more that our kids do not play baseball, the more it opens the door for the internationalization of the game. I can see a time where this game has perhaps 25% American players. It won't mean that it's bad. It won't mean that it's worse. It won't mean that it's great. It'll just mean what it is. That's coming, boys. Unless we can reverse a trend in this country, because what I've seen is I've seen a whole lot of ballparks around this country that are vacant now that used to have kids on them 24 hours a day, and we're not seeing it. And unless the trend changes, we're going to have a different form of baseball than we've had. And again, it's going to be very good. These are the best in the world, and they're playing right here. The Japanese League is good. They have great winter leagues. They have a lot of good leagues in the Caribbean, but the best is still here. Let's keep it the best. But the face of baseball is changing. It's changing rapidly. And I don't think that it's worse. I think that it's just different. And we're going to have to get used to it. And hopefully, hopefully our American kids will have the opportunity that I had to play baseball during the summertime because I was born and raised in Cleveland. But I love the game. I lusted for the game. I wanted nothing else but the game. But then again, I didn't have iPads and I didn't have smartphones.
All right. Steve, thank you very much. We'll see you tonight on the on the TV. I don't even know. Where are they running the game tonight? Do you know?
We are on NBC Chicago Sports. NBC Sports Chicago.
NBC Sports Chicago. That's right.
And the toughest part of my job is looking down at the jersey that I'm wearing and figure out where we are.
What logo we got?
Both signals are great. And tonight's going to be good because Ronaldo Lopez goes to the mound, and I can tell you definitively one thing, boys, he's very rested.
That's right. That one, no question about it. Whole team is, which is good. Really? Just good. They kind of need it. All right, Steve, we'll see you on TV.
Anna, enjoy yourself.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
And
okay, you too.
We will, of course, have the radio broadcast of that coming up on the program.
Interesting story about the future.
7 o'clock tonight.
Of the baseball.
The press boxes are a whole lot more full when there are Japanese players involved in the game. I mean, it's almost double the amount of attention you see it. So he's right.
Mm-hmm. You see all the Japanese press.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the translators. And
It's exciting. It brings a lot of energy to it. And I think that's a really positive thing. One day, the World Series there will be international teams in the World Series. The day is not today. Mm-hmm. I may not be here with you to see it, but the one day it will be
the World Series will be the world.
Tokyo Giants, will be the world. Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Will Mexico be involved?
As I hope so. As sure as God, they apples green.
All
right.
Okay.
You know what? You know what that means, don't you? Caller number 32 for Steve Stone. Rips us off for a four-pack of tickets to see the White Sox in Seattle, 4:10 p.m. on Tuesday, April 24th. Keep listening all season long for that sounder from Chicago White Sox Baseball. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? Roper is in the studio with us. We were talking about Arlie Ermey and the passing of Arlie Ermey, a very special figure on this radio show for the last 20 years and its various locations and its various iterations.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Richard was with us for a number of the most interesting moments.
Yes. Sounds like relationship. It.
But he was always very respectful of you too, because obviously you're an internationally acclaimed film critic, and he and I think he never knew. one day.
Good to suck up to Richard, I would think.
That was good. I've seen bigger figures than he do that to him.
We go to dinner and thought, Richard can sit by me right here. Push somebody down, something. I was in that chair. Not anymore.
He seemed like a genuine guy that maybe if he didn't like you, would just tell you that. That's just my read.
Oh, yeah. I think that's for sure. What do you think in terms of, obviously, the Full Metal Jacket everybody talks about? What else do you think?
Yeah, first of all, let's just talk about that really quick, because I mentioned, that's his most famous role. And people always talk about, how did he not even get nominated for Best Supporting Actor? Because it's probably more memorable than a lot of roles that have won Oscars. Sure. That happened to be the year, maybe the best year in the history of best supporting acting contenders. The nominees that year were Vincent Gardenia for Moonstruck, Sean Connery for The Untouchables, Albert Brooks for Broadcast News, Denzel Washington for Cry Freedom, and Morgan Freeman in Street Smart. So that kind of explains to you, and Sean Connery won. But, you know, what the thing that would sometimes bother me, people say, well, he was so great in that role because he was just playing himself, because he had had, you know, had been a drill instructor. And I'm like, you know, there are thousands upon thousands of people who are public figures who can't play themselves in movies. Michael Jordan is one of the most charismatic and likable public figures we've had, and maybe the greatest basketball player, and he sucked playing Michael Jordan in Space Jam. He wasn't good at playing Michael Jordan. It's very hard to be comfortable and to do an extension of yourself. But beyond that, there were so many other roles. You know, this we're talking about, you know, he did some really serious movies. Arlie Ermey was in Seven, a great film by David Fincher, which featured Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. And we got a little bit of a role right here. He's the captain. He's the guy. He was actually the supervising officer for the cops, played by Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Seven deadly sins, Captain. Gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, pride, lust, and envy. Seven.
Hold on. That's not even my desk.
Now, what happened there was he's sitting at this desk, and the story he would tell was that phone was not supposed to be ringing. That it was accidentally ringing, and he ad-libbed that line. Because the phone kept ringing, and Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman were like, well, we're just going to keep doing the scene. So that's what he did. He grabbed the phone, and David Fincher realized it was a brilliant moment, kept it in the film.
That's awesome.
That's acting right there. Yeah. You know?
How about that?
In Mississippi Burning, I think he was the mayor, I believe, as I recall, of the town. I remember Gene Hackman came into town along, you know, to investigate the murders of the three students.
Are you to tell your bosses people got the wrong idea about the South? You know what I'm talking about. Everybody running around ragged, backwards, illiterate, eating sow belly and corn pone three times a day. Simple fact is, Anderson, we got two cultures down here. White culture and the colored culture. Now, that's the way it always has been. That's the way it always will be.
The rest of America don't see it that way, Mr. Mayor. The
rest of America don't mean jack shit. You in Mississippi now.
Great film, too. Yeah. So he really had more versatility, I think, as an actor than people, because they think of the one character so much.
And Dead Man Walking. I think that's... Yeah. We mentioned Prefontaine, the film where you play Bill Bowerman. There's a great scene with Jared Leto in that. Wait, is it Jared Leto?
Jared was in one of the previews.
Yeah, it was one of the two. I can't remember, but it was a great scene in that. And then there was a... and then in Dead Man Walking, remember, he plays the dad of the girl who's murdered that Sean Penn is about to be executed for.
Yeah.
And gives an amazing performance in that. And Saving Silverman, where he plays the coach, and a great comedic
turn. Oh, my gosh. And really had some fun at his own expense. Yeah, just thinking about the movies we've just talked about, though. Yeah. Morgan Freeman, Gene Hackman, Sean Penn. These are all Academy Award-winning actors that he was on screen with and more than held his own with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question.
For sure. For sure. And he did get a Golden Globe nomination for Full Metal Jacket, but he didn't win it. And he's one of those guys that... But he took the craft of acting very seriously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. On top of it. A little bit more on him later on in the program. We got a top 5 of 5. You'll hear that, plus all the other wacky things that have happened today in the last 24 hours.
Boy.
On the top 5 coming your way right after. Brocon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right. We have the top 5 of 5 coming right now. There's last minute changes on the top 5 of 5 because the news is moving so fast in the year 2018.
Yeah.
It's the future now.
It kind of feels like we did get in a time machine.
In the
day.
Year 2018. That's where we are.
Well, you might have woken up and thought the Comey book and the interview with George Stephanopoulos would be the top story in Washington, and then things quickly shifted from there.
Right. Yes.
The Michael Cohen revelations and the secret client that he didn't want to name coming out in court today. being
Every,
named.
Every, like, 5 minutes, I see Jeff running out, handing you guys, like, yeah. breaking bulletins.
Well, Ro showed me his phone in the middle of an interview, and he's like, check this out. And it was a Starbucks order that we had to get in right away. At first, I was like, oh,
and then there's
no.
That.
What now?
My heart sank.
Yeah.
I thought, what's happening?
Yeah, well, I needed, because things are going so fast, we need to get this.
Hydration.
We need to get the Starbucks order in. Otherwise, I'm not going to spend my $2,000 this year in Starbucks that I spend every year.
Yeah.
Are you gonna, I'm trying to stay
can
ahead.
Can you deduct
gotta
that?
Hit that quota.
Did you deduct that at all?
No.
No, can't no. do that.
No, I don't know.
Gifts to coworkers?
They don't let you deduct anything anymore. No. They've given a
pretty streamlined.
I know an attorney you might be able to call.
Michael Cohen. I never paid Michael Cohen a dime.
He never said. Just ask him for his personal, professional opinion. You don't have to pay him.
Sean Hannity. We're gonna get to this in just a second. Yeah. But Sean Hannity is what it was. The other Michael Cohen client, according to the courts today. Although, mm-hmm. They gave Michael Cohen a break in court today. Kimball Wood, the judge, gave Michael Cohen a little bit of a bonus here.
Did
because
she?
They are going to allow Michael Cohen's attorneys to go back and look at all the stuff that the FBI seized and figure out what is they want to see what it is, and then they're going to go with a mediator of some sort, we're assuming, mm-hmm. and decide what is privilege and what is not.
Hmm. That is a win for them.
So that is a bit of a win. But in the meantime, they had to acknowledge that Sean Hannity was the other client. Now, the problem here is that Sean Hannity goes, he's not my attorney. I never paid him.
He now says I may have given him $10, quote, for talking about real estate, but uh-huh. he never represented me. I didn't, give him legal fees, and there was no third party involved.
Mm-hmm. But by the way, when you say I never paid the attorney, that does not help you.
I don't think it does.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Separate.
We'll see what happens there. All right. Here we go. Nope. Wait. Here. Nope. Nope. Wait. Stand by. Trouble on the deck.
We have a problem.
Oh God! If the gunny were still around, this would really not be good. All right. Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we will. Checking in at
number five.
All right, let's just go through a couple of the things that happened last night. James mm-hmm. Comey sitting down with George Stephanopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
Book is Higher Loyalty. By the way, Mr. Comey is scheduled to appear on this show on Thursday.
Very cool.
So we will keep you up to date on that. The book hits the stores tomorrow. Now, what about that press conference in which he discussed the Hillary Clinton emails with 11 days to go before the election?
Critics say this is where your ego got the best of you. This was your original sin.
So if it was about ego, why would I step out in front of the organization and get shot 1,000 times? I actually thought, as bad as this will be for me personally, this is my obligation to protect the FBI and the Justice Department. Given all that had gone on, the Attorney General of the United States could not credibly announce this result. And if she did, it would do corrosive damage to the institutions of justice.
Actually, that's from the earlier, meeting, mm-hmm. the press conference in which he announced that Hillary Clinton was not going to be charged. That was the summer press conference of 2016,
right?
Where he said that they were not going to charge her. They looked into it, and he castigated her for not handling her emails well and securely, but that there was no criminal intent or corrupt intent behind her using a private email server, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Donald Trump was like, lock her up, which is a great irony now when you stop and you think about how many people that did not have security clearances who were on email chains at the White House.
Right.
It's the same. It's basically the same crime that people are screaming to lock Hillary Clinton up about. But it was important. And Comey explained that he couldn't let Loretta Lynch had already gotten stained with the fact that she'd met with Bill Clinton on a private jet on a tarmac at an airport. And so she was going to have no credibility. And so he decided he wanted to go out and do this.
In a way to preserve the FBI's credibility in some ways. It was sort of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Scenario, really. I mean, if you put yourself in that position and think about what would happen if you don't and what would happen if you do. And that's what he explained last night. I thought that answer seemed to make a lot of sense. You may believe it was the right way or the wrong way to go about it, but he certainly, you could tell he was sweating that decision.
I'll play a little bit more of this coming up, and Michael Monaco will be here to give us legal analysis of what this was, and also what happened in court today with Michael Cohen. I got to say, though, at the when you look at the interview in total, you do understand completely what, if you want to open your heart to where the guy was placed here. Especially when he had to make a decision then to go and say that we are reopening an investigation into Hillary Clinton. But he did not disclose that there were reopening, that they had an open investigation into Russian collusion already at that point.
Right.
And the campaign, not Donald Trump himself. He made it very clear that Donald Trump himself was under investigation, but that the campaign was under investigation. Members of the campaign were under investigation. He didn't want to do it. And it tells you, and it's a really interesting moment because I think this is critical. The president then campaign, then nominee Donald Trump had created such a levered environment by saying that the whole thing was rigged and the whole thing was crooked and the whole thing was bad. And they were going to steal the election from him. That he basically cowed James Comey into not disclosing that because he would have played on that. So this is a case of it wasn't right. The thing wasn't rigged against him. He won the election. Hillary Clinton has a better argument that it was rigged against her, but it was rigged against anybody. Everybody was trying to do the right thing while both campaigns were doing the wrong thing. The FBI was trying to do the right thing, and he did. And this is essentially it's amazing that Donald Trump, this is, I think, the moment in which we live, and this is where we have to stop and assess what we want to be as a country. Because do we want to be living in a world in which guys can, for their own personal purpose, make up stuff and continue to pound away at it, make it up, and no one question them? And then where do we, then who are we? Where is truth? Where is holding people account for telling lies? All right. More on that a little bit later on. Checking in at
number four.
Federal judge in Manhattan today, Kimball Wood, rejected a request from the Trump legal team for a temporary restraining order that would have kept federal prosecutors from looking at the documents that they seized, but did allow these documents to be seen by the defense team, and that's so that they can make a decision about what they want to try to classify as privilege, which basically everything, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that going to be the deal?
I would think so.
At today's hearing, Fox News commentator Sean Hannity was revealed to have been the other person represented by Michael Cohen.
A lot of gasps in the courtroom when that name was revealed, the secret clients that the judge forced them to reveal.
There were three clients that Michael Cohen had. There was Donald Trump.
It's good company.
There was the dude out in California who got the Playboy model.
The deputy finance chair for the RNC.
Okay, him. And then Sean Hannity. What?
Huh?
The judge needed information about Cohen's clients because Michael Avenatti was asking for it. And here is Michael Avenatti, who...
So likable, really.
Very, I mean,
not smarmy at all.
No. Mm-mm. Thank God he's in the middle of this.
Good thing.
I said last Friday and this weekend that Michael Cohen was radioactive and that anybody that was associated with him in the last 20 to 30 years should be very, very concerned. What we witnessed earlier in the hearing with the disclosure relating to Sean Hannity proved my point. Exactly. He is radioactive.
I see. I like how he worked radio into it. We in the radio industry appreciate the mention, sir.
Little plug.
Yeah. There you go. I think there's something wrong. We'll play a little more of Avenatti later on. There's something wrong with that guy.
The Avenatti guy.
I knew Michael Cohen was bad news. I could just tell his demeanor and his, but that Avenatti's.
He's the fixer. Michael Avenatti sort of serves a similar purpose.
Well, he's a lawyer though. He's not fixing.
He appeared he appeared, it's not like Stormy necessarily found her personal lawyer. This guy appeared, and he has the background in opposition work for the Democratic Party. And, I mean, he is who he is. He's there for a reason. He certainly is not a stranger to calling attention to himself. He likes, he seems to enjoy that piece of this.
That always ends well. Mm-hmm. It's been my experience. All right, Judy Pilak is standing by. She's got the WGN News headlines. It's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
WGN-TV celebrates 70 years to the day of Cubs baseball when the Cubs play the Cards today at 5:30 on WGN. Wait a minute. Is that game still today at 5:30? I thought that was postponed. No. So we're going to go ahead and just get rid of that
just
one.
Just ignore
just
everything
what we just heard
that Anna just told you.
All right. Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Checking in at
number three.
Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller reenacted the great scene from Meet the Parents. Where Ben Stiller is on the
lie detector test.
Lie detector being lie detected
so great
by Robert De Niro, except in this case, Ben Stiller was Michael Cohen, and Robert De Niro was Robert Mueller.
I was just trying to milk some information out of people. So what?
Did you say milk?
Yeah, like with a cow or a goat or a cat. I mean, you can milk anything with nipples.
Suppose you can.
It was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Oh. Will it ever be midnight in the desert again? For more than two decades, iconic broadcaster Art Bell hosted Coast to Coast AM. It ran in the middle of the night. He interviewed ghost hunters and cryptozoologists and prophets and visionaries and kooks and UFOologists.
Sure did.
And you couldn't sleep if you listened to
you
it.
Just, we were riveted.
Live from Banff, Nevada.
I know who's a big fan of that show.
Oh, gosh. You had to mention him.
We can't work him into the top 5 of 5. I'm sorry. Just can't do it. Yeah, but yes, he was basically Creepy Uncle and Art Bell were the totally kindred spirits.
Mm-hmm. I bet he was a regular caller even.
But I got to say that, you know, I mean, obviously the show was always about the goofs and the absolute craziness of people who believe in all of those things. Although, how crazy is it? We've had these UFOs and no one can tell us what they are recently.
You've had legitimate, you know, military pilots cite them recently. With video evidence.
But if you have to be up in the middle of the night, that was great listening. That's all I'm going to say.
It was, and you could not turn it off.
That's right. Art Bell has passed away.
Mm.
Somehow I was able to get 4 hours a night out of that.
Yeah, can you believe
it? Pretty incredible stuff. Coast to Coast, he started Coast to Coast in 1993, and he had more than 10 million people listening to him every night. Art Bell was 72. And finally,
number one.
Golden Globe nominated actor Arlie Ermey has died. Best known for his role as Gunnery Sergeant Hartman in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket. He not only played a member of the military in movies, but he was also a real drill instructor. He'd been in the U.S. Marine Corps as a, he was a staff sergeant. Mm-hmm. And then was made an honorary gunnery sergeant by the USMC after becoming really the best recruiter for the United States Marines.
How about that?
Since John Wayne. Now, when you think about that, because it came from his role. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had a number of roles where he played drill instructors, boys in Company C. He was also in a number of other films in which, you know, that kind of role was required.
The authoritarian figure.
But he... he had this ability to, despite the fact that Gunnery Sergeant Hartman was written as a monster, right? He became a very sympathetic character to people, especially to, you know, young men who were going into service in the Marines. And I had the great honor and pleasure of traveling with him a number of times to visit Marines and to watch him make speeches at the Marine Corps centers and other Marine Reserve centers. He was absolutely beloved. They all had to take pictures of him. They couldn't tell you who the commandant of the Marine Corps was, but they could tell you who Gunnery Sergeant Hartman was.
To think he's a guy who fell upon the Marines at the suggestion of a judge.
Basically
jail or Marines.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was a suggestion, Anna.
It was more of a, yeah, I understand.
Lee would tell the story. It was not quite a suggestion. It was a little bit more of a, I would say an insistence, maybe an invitation.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Maybe that's the way, that's the way to do it.
But became the face, even though he fell upon it sort of accidentally.
I want to play both. Can we play the Ice Station Zebra? Not Ice Station. What is it? Is that right? Yeah. Let's play that. He was, by the way, he was in Apocalypse Now. He has a very small role in Apocalypse Now. He's the helicopter pilot during the Flight of the Valkyries scene.
Oh.
And then
he was in Seven.
He was first appeared in a major role year before Apocalypse Now actually came out, but he shot it after Apocalypse Now in a little movie called Boys in Company C.
I'm Sergeant Lois. I'm your drill instructor for the next 2 months, maggots. Jesus, how in the hell do they expect me to train Marines when they won't even send me human damn beings to start with? You all empty your pockets and place the contents of your pockets on the table in front of you. Do it now! What do you have in a packet there, Private?
Cookies for my girlfriend, sir.
Bullshit contraband. Put it on the table.
So great. Gee, so great.
And then Siege on Firebase Gloria.
Anyone know who these belong to? This is Corporal Miller. He's dead. Hell, the whole gun crew is dead. And to add insult to injury, Charlie took the 50 caliber machine gun with him. I don't have any respect for Corporal Miller anymore because he allowed his troops to relax. Look at him, dammit! Pay attention. Stay alert. Stay alive. It's as simple as that.
And, of course, Full Metal Jacket.
Today, you people are no longer maggots. Today, you are Marines. You're part of a brotherhood. From now on, until the day you die, wherever you are, every Marine is your brother. Most of you will go to Vietnam. Some of you will not come back. But always remember this. Marines die. That's what we're here for. But the Marine Corps lives forever. And that means you live forever.
Arlie Ermey was 74.
The top five at five.
For years, Mr. Cohen has acted like he is above the law. He has considered himself and openly referred to himself as Mr. Trump's fixer. He has played by a different set of rules, or should we say no rules at all. He has never thought that the little man, or especially women, and even more women like me, mattered. That ends now. My attorney and I are committed to making sure that everyone finds out the truth and the facts of what happened, and I give my word that we will not rest until that happens.
So we're afraid of
Stormy Daniels to be on The View tomorrow.
All right. Well, we need legal help here. Michael Monaco, whom I have
turned to on occasion.
Let's see here. Let me read. Let's see if this is Sean Hannity's statement about Michael Cohen. Let's see if any of this applies to my relationship with Michael Monaco.
Okay.
Michael has never represented me in any manner.
Wrong.
Yep. That is
your
correct.
Your attorney says nope.
That's right. Nope. Nope.
It's not how you would represent it.
Nope.
The case.
So you have actually represented me. Is that correct, Mr. Monaco?
Yes. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Have I retained you?
No, not exactly.
Oh.
That's another thing.
That's
another
telling.
Thing. A guy deserves a little,
something on occasion.
Excuse me? I believe.
You're not taking care of Mike Monaco?
That is not the best lawyers
in the world?
I did retain you, and I did receive an invoice, and I did pay your fees.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forget about that.
Yeah. I have legal record of that.
Okay.
And by the way, I would like to point out that Michael Monaco is not inexpensive.
I didn't expect that. I would not expect Michael Monaco.
I would like to point that out.
Anna, how are you, Anna? You good?
It's all good. It's good. I hope to never have to retain you, but yeah. I don't take that personally, because if I did need to, then I would immediately run to you. So it's just the way it is.
It was something that happened on the air, and we had to seek legal counsel to make sure that that no laws were violated. And I wanted to be totally vetted, and I retained Mr. Monaco's legal expertise and paid him quite handsomely.
Oh,
yes, you did.
To do it. Now I will say this: that Sean Hannity,
the secret client
of Michael Cohen. Says that he never retained him, never received an invoice or paid legal fees. I've occasionally had brief conversations with him about legal questions about which I wanted his input and perspective. I assume those conversations were confidential.
And you know what it sounds like? It sounds like Cohen kept information, maybe even tape recordings of those conversations with Hannity, because his lawyer, Cohen's lawyer, was objecting to the government getting reviewing that stuff before they could vet it and see if there's attorney-client privilege in it.
If you're not paying a guy, is there attorney-client privilege?
Yes. Oh, sure. Okay. You don't have to pay someone for an attorney-client privilege.
But what if you hear Hannity coming out today, Mike, and saying, you know, he's never represented me, just like as Roe explained, never retained him, basically saying he's not my attorney is what...
No, but then he said he did. He said he did talk to him. He did talk to him seeking legal advice and said he expected that to be privileged. That's the very basis of an attorney-client privilege. If you believe you're talking to a lawyer and you believe that that is a confidential communication and it's about something legal, it's about a legal issue, you're seeking advice, it is not about doing anything illegal. It's not about committing a crime or a fraud. Mm-hmm. Which is a crime fraud exception to it. Mm-hmm. And it's not about business advice. It's not about, you know, whether I should buy a particular piece of property. It's about legal advice, and then it should be protected.
So does it seem to you in this case there is privilege and it is protected? If he says, as Sean Hannity's tweeting out this evening, that it was about real estate, and that's it.
Well, that's interesting. That's a close question. That is a close question. So... I suppose a lawyer can give his, who happens to know a lot about real estate, can give advice about whether a person should buy real estate. And
that would not be protected if it were about real estate.
Right. It could not be.
Yeah.
I like to think. Listen, as a criminal defense lawyer, I like to think of the privilege as broad. That every time you talk to a lawyer, whether it's about business or not, it should be protected. Because even if it's about business, if you call a lawyer and you know it's about, you have some other, for example, say I have a client, okay, and the client calls me and says, should I do something about business? But I'm thinking of it in terms of the legal case, and that it probably would look bad, for example, if he did it in terms of his legal case, and I say, no, don't do that, or don't take that job, or you should go to school, for example, rather than work. Those are legal issues. And that seems to me it should be protected.
Okay. But this is the question I have.
Mm-hmm.
If Sean Hannity now claims he's not a client of Michael Cohen's after it was revealed in court that he was, why did Michael Cohen's attorneys say that he was?
Because I think he says that because they understand that Cohen has information about Hannity. And it's in now the government's possession, and it may include tape recordings. We don't know.
So this idea that, hey, he was never my lawyer, and this is all about who's a lawyer, and this is a witch hunt, and blah 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 blah. This is really about the fact that this really is the practical matter of the case, that they've got evidence, they've got computers, and they've got files that are now in question about who can look at them. The FBI has secured them, but they have not looked at them. And now today,
the taint team who was there, who seized them, the taint team is going to, they're the ones charged with the responsibility of reviewing these things and determining if there is a potential attorney-client privilege. If there is,
but has the taint team even looked at them, or they just grabbed stuff up, boxed it, and inventoried it, and that's it? My understanding is the Tank team has not looked.
I bet they started looking.
Oh.
This is the President of the United States. They didn't get that information and just leave it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it all night.
Oh.
This is the biggest case in America. This could be the biggest case in the world.
Well, are they allowed to look at it before a judge rules on that? Of course, right?
Absolutely. It's the FBI. They had a warrant to go get it.
So they can look at it. Okay.
To go grab it.
So you think it's likely they know what they have?
I'm not sure it's likely they know about everything, but I assume that they have a pretty good idea of that they did not just take it and just put it away and say, okay, just leave it there until this hearing. No, they the Tank team, which is, by the Tank team, I mean lawyers who will not be involved in the criminal investigations. They're lawyers from the U.S. Attorney's Office, FBI agents from the FBI offices in New York, but they will not be involved in the criminal investigations. Therefore, they're given the special duty of looking at things and determining what the FBI team that's investigating the case and the assistant U.S. attorneys who are going to prosecute the cases, whether they can see these things.
And they're not allowed to share it otherwise if it isn't allowed.
Right. If it's not appropriate, oftentimes they'll bring in special lawyers from D.C. To go to New York and decide for them to decide within the Department of Justice whether certain items can be turned over to the prosecutors in the case. And this is, they sort of call it like a Chinese wall, you know, that there's certain lawyers in the office who can look at things and others who can't. And Judge Kimba Woods said today that she trusts them. And that's what she's worked with them as a federal judge for a long time. And so she said she trusts them, and that's how we go from here. Now, she did say, I think, she may have left it open whether or not they're going to appoint some kind of...
Yeah, they don't know yet. They're letting the attorneys for Michael Cohen go back through this stuff to see what... I'm sure they're not handing it right back over to them. So they go, oh, we've dropped it, we lost it, and it's gone. They're letting the Michael Cohen's attorneys go back through it to see what's in there so they can make a case-by-case argument for information being considered to be confidential information.
And the Tank team will watch that very closely because Avenatti today talked about spoliation. Spoliation is when people who have control and possession of certain documents, all of a sudden they're lost, and they can't explain why they're lost. That will be held against those parties. So that's what they're trying to avoid, spoliation.
Spoliation. All right.
Right.
Spoliation and taint. We've learned two things here today.
Yes.
And I would like to get a little bit of credit for not trying to make this funny. Thank you very much.
I know. My daughter, Christina, sent me a text saying, Dad, I also got to learn the word of taint when I was on the... a TV show the other day.
Taint. Yeah, it means something different to the kids. Let me say this.
Exactly.
I think that this deal, I mean, people keep saying that this is going to be a bigger deal than the Russia investigation. I happen not to believe that's true, because if the Russia investigation does bear fruit that Michael Cohen, they're related. If Michael Cohen was actually in
Prague,
Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, and was lying about the fact that he was there, that means that he was doing something he shouldn't have been doing, and they probably know this already. One of the arguments that's being made here is that they've been monitoring him and monitoring his emails for months here. They got a warrant to do that. So they already know what it is that they're looking for. They're just now, I mean, most of the work has already been done. Is that your experience as a criminal lawyer and also as a prosecutor?
Yes and no. It's the heart of it's known. Because they've been watching his emails and they've been listening to his probably his phone calls, and so they know what's there, essentially. But once they get the warrant and they get the search warrant and they break in and they get everything that they're entitled to get, they'll have a lot more information.
It's going to be interesting to me. I know I get around.
Yeah, just like with Blagojevich. Blagojevich, they had him taped those terrible tapes where he said, this is going to be gold.
I think,
you know, mm-hmm. And so, but not until they went in and got everything did they have it all.
Got it. All right.
But it was important.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Appreciate
my pleasure.
It.
Bye,
thank
Anna.
You. Thank you.
Bye.
Good. And we'd like to
bye
wish
bye.
Everybody luck on the Taint team.
Yeah,
thank
exactly,
you very much.
Right.
I think I was on that in college. All right, here we go. Here is Judy Pilak with the WGN News Update. She's going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour. Quite a day here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Boy, it has been. And I just noticed the Tribune Tower is trending on social media. So you always think in your mind, well, I'm sitting in the
Tribune
Tower.
We're not on fire,
Tower.
Are what, they?
Yeah,
what?
I mean, let's look out the window. No, we're safe. They've just unveiled the plans for the new tower that's going to go next to on the property here. Second tallest skyscraper in the city.
Must be nice.
$1 billion project. About to go up.
Cool. Good for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're moving, so that's okay. We're moving down the block, and we'll be able to watch it from our new windows.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So
it looks pretty cool.
It does. As they say, it resembles the top of Batman's black mask, and only 29 feet shorter than the Willis Tower.
Well, why did they go the extra 20?
They asked him
29
that,
and a half feet,
and they said that wasn't what we were trying to do. We weren't trying to be the tallest.
Respect
we were trying
thing.
To yeah. Understand what
maybe it's
we
a
needed.
Different permit. we don't want their responsibility.
It's too much. All right. Bob Baer is joining us right now. One of the most decorated CIA agents in that agency's history.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, we want to talk about Syria because you spent a lot of time in and around that nation as part of your work in the CIA. It's the movie Syriana, which is based on your book, takes place very much in that crescent of all the trouble in the world that happens there in the on the shores of the Mediterranean, basically between Turkey and Egypt. And one has to wonder, I know there was obviously Friday night, we've almost erased this from historical memory because of all the other wacky things that have happened over the last couple of days on the national news scene. But the missile attack, you know, it's a major thing. It's a major military action by the United States. Do you think, Bob, it's going to have any kind of lasting effect?
Oh, I think absolutely it will. Look, Ro, here's the problem. The Syrians are now going to ask for advanced surface-to-air missiles, the S-300, which the Russians can export. My prediction is they do export that. The Syrians, you know, to accept it as a gift. And what that does is put the Israeli Air Force at peril. And they're thinking, look, if the Iranians are moving into Syria, if the best the United States can do is hit a couple empty buildings, they don't even make sarin anymore in Syria. So it was sort of a symbolic strike. We better hit the Iranians and Hezbollah now because they're sitting on our border. The Iranians are going to start importing rockets. A lot of rockets into Syria and Lebanon. The road is wide open from Iraq. So what I'm saying is the possibility of escalation is huge. We are not done with Syria. And don't forget, for the Islamic State, Syria is where the apocalypse begins. Maybe they're right for once.
Yeah. But in terms of the status of the Islamic State, the president says that it's basically down to nothing. Is that accurate?
No, I mean, look, the chlorine gas can be made in your garage if you know what you're doing. And apparently it was some form of chlorine that was used in Douma. So, you know, it's a message to the Syrians. We are here. We're watching. You cannot massacre your population. But frankly, the Syrians, immediately after the raid, I was in touch with some of them in the presidency, were delighted that we didn't go after regime change. That's what they were really scared of, because that would have meant going after the palace in Damascus, going after elite units, the 4th Division, and so on. So they look at this as a sort of a wink and a nod, you know. We just got to be more careful in the future when we massacre these people. And indeed, they did on Sunday. They started their raids over again. And they're going to keep going on to these holdouts, Idlib, in Dara, various places like that. So by no means is this strike going to put an end to that war. But before we go on saying this is, you know, Trump doesn't know what he's doing, it's sort of a hopeless situation there, and he doesn't have many options.
Right.
I mean, on one hand, he couldn't let the Syrians use chlorine.
the Russians stand by. On the other, no one's offered him a solution to get out of that place fast. And I sort of agree with him. We should be out of there. Everything we've done in the Middle East, going back to whenever, has not worked.
Yeah. Let me, there was another story that kind of passed over the weekend that I don't think got a whole lot of attention, obviously, because of everything else going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an incident where 200 Russian, we call them foreign fighters here because they weren't under Russian military uniform, but they were, these are guys who work for a thing called the Wagner Group, which is kind of like a Blackwater-esque organization that the Russians use. It's a mercenary force, but a professionally trained mercenary force, an organized mercenary force, well-equipped mercenary force, was in conflict with U.S.-backed troops in the region. 200 Russian nationals were killed who were working as mercenaries on behalf of the Assad government. The independent journalist, Russian independent journalist who released that information, who sourced that and then reported that information in Russia, was found dead over the weekend.
Gee.
Underneath his own balcony from which he was said to have jumped.
Yeah, it's called 75 feet in the business. You throw somebody out a window 75 feet or higher and they'll die. He had phoned in shortly before saying that there aren't people on my balcony and they're around the house, they're in the stairwell. And then there was a panic second call where he says, no, I know everything's okay, there's an exercise. Well, I mean, how many people have Russian military or police exercises on their balcony? It just, none of it makes sense. And his editor said, no, he didn't commit suicide. Look, anybody who squeals on Putin ends up dead. It's just a fact. The guy in Salisbury, Skripal, Litvinenko, the guy that was killed, Polonium-210, and on and on. And there's a half a dozen other open cases in Britain of people that were killed. I mean, so he's sort of ruling by assassination, and he's scaring people, he's scaring journalists, and he doesn't want to admit that he had Russian troops. What they do is, just like the Ukraine, is they take off their uniforms and put on the uniforms of the mercenary outfit they're working for, Wagner. It's a sleight of hand that everybody sort of caught on to. But the fact is, we've got Russian forces in Syria. A month ago, we killed at least 200 of them, and never during the Cold War did we ever get in a direct conflict with Russian troops. It just never happened.
James Comey has said in his book and in the interview last night that one of the things that startles him about Donald Trump is that Donald Trump looks at the way that the Russians murder and the way that the United States murders around the world as sort of on the same moral plane. And he's troubled by that because he believes that the United States, the Comey, I think, is making the argument that there's a rule of law and of humanity in the United States that it does not exist in Russia. You spent decades in the CIA. What is your thought on that?
Well, he's wrong because we have, you know, the whole drone program is passed through the Department of Justice, Congress, the laws are wide open. And we are not killing our own citizens. The Russians in 2006, at the behest of Putin, passed a law that he could go out and execute people, extrajudicial executions abroad. Now, it's completely different. We are not killing American journalists. We are not killing American citizens who squeal to the newspapers. I mean, it's crazy to look at what Putin is doing and saying we are doing the same thing. Well, you may disagree with the drone attacks, and they're largely, you know, they're not all that accurate, let me put it that way. But they are in the context of war, just as Putin is fighting a war in Syria and, you know, if he's going after the Islamic State. So, but it's a terrible argument.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem with Trump is he equates himself with Putin. He'd like to be Putin with that authority to close down investigations, close down the press, especially CNN, which I work for. And, you know, go after these people. And even the Philippines, Duterte, he's going at, you know, he says this guy knows what he's doing about drugs. He's going out there and executing people in the street. It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Without question, yes. And I mean, watching that, I'd like to get your thought on this. We had Brett Garrett on, formerly of the FBI, a little bit ago, and I asked him this. I'll ask you this too, Bob. I'm assuming you saw the Comey interview last night on ABC.
Yes.
When you're watching it, are you kind of? I think a lot of us are just kind of pinching ourselves, going, "Is this really happening?"
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
No, how about the president getting in a fight with the FXBI director? I mean, a man who's had a honorable career, and they're in this fight in the media. It's never happened before. None of this stuff has happened before. We've never had a president whose lawyer was raided. And then on top of it, the lawyer represents Hannity from Fox.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's been on TV in these self-serving rants going on about going after this lawyer. It's incredible. I mean, the tone in this country is deteriorating by the day. And yeah. I don't like that former intelligence officials have to be on TV defending the FBI and the CIA like Brennan and Comey. We shouldn't be there. They should leave service, and they can write their memoirs like I did, fine, but you shouldn't be in a fight with the White House, a running battle. It's bad.
Oh yeah, the whole thing is bad. I mean, it's not normal. It falls at the feet right now, especially. I mean, you just pointed to it. The drumbeat of people claiming it's normal are falling by the wayside every day for being conflicted out of this. Mm-hmm. And the Sean Hannity piece of this is just now breaking. We don't know exactly how far that's going to go. But Sean Hannity's defense of being one of Michael Cohen's own three clients that Michael Cohen has, and the lawyers in court today for Michael Cohen would not say his name out loud in the courtroom, arguing with the judge, Kimball Wood, who was demanding that they name who this third client is. They were saying, no, we'll write it on a piece of paper and we'll hand it to you. And she's like, no, tell me who it is. Mm-hmm. And there was an audible gasp in the courtroom when Sean Hannity's name, because everybody goes,
believe
of
it.
Of course. And it's a great. Now, Hannity is now denying that he's a client. But then why would Michael Cohen's attorneys say that he is if he's not?
He's lying. They don't come out in court and say that he's a client and that's just imagined on their part in front of a judge. That doesn't happen. That's the whole problem, is people can get away with these lies in any standards, especially when I grew up. I mean, just, you know, Nixon wouldn't try half this stuff.
And it almost makes you miss Nixon. I mean, that's how crazy this is.
I do miss Nixon.
Oh, my gosh.
Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act.
Yeah, right.
Vietnam, all sorts of
right,
things.
Right, the EPA actually. Yeah, there was a little break in, and it was, you know, and he did have an enemies list. But mm-hmm. then again, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'll bet you Trump's enemies list is five times as long, although the Washington Post ended up on both of them.
Was the EPA run by a coal guy back then?
Yeah, that's a little different.
Watt. Remember Watt. You know, you have to look at Scott Pruitt as the, you know, the child of Watt. Mm-hmm. That guy under Reagan. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Anyhow,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's happened before, but it was never been so egregious. And no, we've never been so egregiously divided.
Right.
And it's hard to tell what the truth is. You just got to wait for the next day for the pieces of the story to come out, and you just can't trust what people say.
All right. Thank you, Bob. I always feel, you know, we used to do these little meetings, and then we'd come to a consensus, we'd feel better about ourselves. Not anymore, Bob.
It's not working that way.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
It's Prozac time.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you.
Thanks.
Bob Barry, you can see him. Thank you. You can see him on CNN. You used to see him on the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you didn't see him. That was kind of the point of the CIA. But he wrote the book "See No Evil," and he's basically George Clooney played him in Syria. That's the guy right there. And if you watch that movie or you read the book,
Based
on this is a certified American badass who risked life and limb and his own, you know, health into the future, mm-hmm. Just to serve the United States of America. And he's to be applauded for that.
Yes.
And this situation, not so much.
He can't believe what he's seeing, too. It's interesting to hear a guy with that kind of background be that startled by really anything.
And he's seen some stuff. All right. I'm going to now stop because I can't even imagine what it is that's going on here. And we're going to find out from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
A group of surfers joining Chicago in protesting a settlement with U.S. Steel over polluting Lake Michigan. We'll have more at 6:30.
That'll do it. Here is Violetta with her traffic being brought to you by SpringRockGutters.com.
Travel times are recovering, but we have some lingering delays on the Eisenhower. It's about 40 minutes Thorndale to the old post office, 28 minutes back out. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'm Violetta Podrumetic in WGN Traffic Central.
Next.
At the wall, the 380 gone.
The Sox hit the West Coast to take on the A's. Andy Mazur's late pregame at 8:30. Ed and TJ with the first pitch from Oakland at 9:05. On the flagship for White Sox baseball, 720 WGN.
If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance the one you have, I strongly recommend calling David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending at Pearl Mortgage. Hey, it's Steve Cochran. David's the most honest and trustworthy lender I've ever met. I called David when I considered refinancing. He answered my questions, gave me great advice, helped me figure out the refinance that I needed to do. My sister purchased a home. David secured her an amazingly low rate, completed her loan in less than a couple of weeks. He also supports a number of local charities that I also lend time to, and that's one of the things we bond over. There's Gilda's Club, Rags of Honor, Associated Firefighters of Illinois, and the Illinois Association of Police Chiefs. Look, if you want the same outstanding service my family gets on your next mortgage, call David Hochberg, 312-751-1333, or visit WGNDavid.com. I trust David with my money and my family's as well. David helped me, my sister, thousands of WGN listeners, but he can't help you if you don't call. Pearl Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, 4358, RMLA NMLS 19186. David Hochberg, 312-751-1333.
It's time you conquer your major depression and anxiety. Defeat those feelings of sadness, loss of interest, and hopelessness. Highly esteemed anesthesiologist Dr. Bale Nandra from IV Solution and Ketamine Centers of Chicago uses ketamine to treat major depression. It's been called the greatest advancement in mental health in over 50 years. Ketamine has been shown to be up to 80% effective against treatment-resistant depression. With almost an immediate relief of symptoms, no lingering side effects, treatment involves 45-minute IV infusions over 2 weeks in a private, professional, and monitored setting. You could feel better in just a few hours or days. Ketamine treatments will give you the potential to reduce or eliminate your antidepressant meds and those unwanted side effects. Connie described her ketamine treatment from IV Solutions as a miracle. Ketamine can also conquer your chronic pain, migraines, PTSD, and fibromyalgia. Call for your free consultation, 844-9-IV-MEDS, or visit KetamineChicago.com, KETAMINE Chicago.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Cappell here, serial entrepreneur. Doing payroll is no longer a headache for our customer, Jeff.
I've used various payroll providers in the past, and none can hold a candle to Patriot Software. Their software is ridiculously easy to use. The support staff is knowledgeable and courteous. I am very excited that Patriot Software files my tax forms for me, not just providing the forms like other payroll companies do. As a business owner, managing payroll has been a long-time headache that I no longer struggle with thanks to Patriot Software. I definitely rate your company 5 out of 5 stars.
Go to PatriotSoftware.com to get your payroll pricing for up to 100 employees. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
Habitat for Humanity's vision is a world where everyone has a decent place to live. The data is clear. Children and parents who grow up in secure and safe housing will be healthier, excel in school or work, and suffer less stress. You can help make the dream of home ownership a reality by volunteering or donating to Habitat. Visit ChicagolandHabitat.org today to find your local Habitat for Humanity.
Get to know Joe starting April 23rd. Joe Donlin is his name. He joins Micah Mater on WGN TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10. That is starting April 23rd.
All right.
We'll get to
He's
going to
be
Joe.
Here tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're going to play a very special news or ruse with him.
What?
Yeah. Now, think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. So your first introduction to Chicago, mm-hmm. as you're about to take this most esteemed position as the principal anchor mm-hmm. at WGN-TV News, mm-hmm. and you got to play News or Ruse with us.
Well, you start at the bottom.
That's
the bottom.
That's the top.
You work your way.
You mean the top?
You work your way up, down, down, up.
Let's just try to be in our best behavior tomorrow because you
we'll
know.
See how well he can sort through the fake stuff. Exactly. Put him through the grinder.
Nah, Joe, I hate to tell you this, but your boss has told me if you don't win this thing, you're going back to Portland.
Well, we know he's not going to win.
And losing to me is going to be terrible.
So if you don't get this right, if you get any of these wrong, you're fired.
You're out of here.
No pressure, Joe.
Anchor showdown. Between Judy and him.
Oh,
hey,
man.
I'm going to also be playing this game.
Okay. Right. Yeah, you did so well just in the introduction to this.
You guys are funny.
Oh, we're going to get to know Joe all right.
I'm going to cheat tomorrow now just to win.
Yeah. Like, that's right. Like, that's the first time that thought ever crossed her mind.
There's been no cheating.
Yeah.
Not really. It's not too hard to cheat. You guys read too fast. I can't type.
Yeah. All right. Can you mind if I now just let Judy do the real news here on 720 WGN, brought to you by Next Door and Window? Now, there's a lot going on mm-hmm. in the world, right? And today's show, number of things that required our attention. Obviously, the Michael Cohen case and finding out that Sean Hannity is actually his third client. But Sean Hannity goes, I'm not his client.
Not his client.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He had three clients last year. One secret client revealed in court. Sean Hannity, mm-hmm. who says he's not a client. But his lawyer says he is a client.
So
can you have attorney-client privilege if you don't you're an attorney?
It turns out by saying he's not my attorney kind of defeats the attorney-client privilege, but he still tried to maintain it all at the same time. Let's just put it this way. We're not
understand.
Getting straight answers.
No.
And you know, when you're not getting straight answers, you know that something is up.
You wonder.
So we had that. We've said goodbye and maybe a little bit more before we're out of here today mm-hmm. to my dear friend and colleague and creative partner in crime for a number of years, Arlie Ermey, the legendary actor and more legendary just as a Marine, mm-hmm. one of the biggest Marine recruiting tool since John Wayne. And he passed away yesterday at the age of 74. We're now learning that that we also this is quite a moment. Harry Anderson, people remember him from Night Court. He passed away 65
that's,
years old.
Yeah, that's not the right age.
Yep. Director Milos Forman has died as well.
Oh man,
a lot of people. So this is really one of those. It's April. It's a wacky month.
It is.
I'm starting to feel it. But then Violetta raised her hand during a commercial break. And she's mm-hmm. like, why haven't we discussed Khloe Kardashian's baby yet?
Well, when you put it in perspective like that. But it is kind of big news. She had her baby girl, and they have a name.
Yeah, and this is worth discussing, and I will tell you exactly why.
Is it a direction?
No. Now, this is Khloe. Now, let's just go back and learn why it is that this is important. For those of you not familiar.
What do you mean? How are you going to explain that? Why this is important?
This is important because Khloe is having this baby with this Tristan Thompson guy, right?
Yeah, he plays basketball.
Yeah.
Cleveland Cavaliers?
He's a Cleveland Cavalier. He works for the Cleveland Cavaliers in the front office. What is he? Sells tickets? Get your beer
here!
Was this the one who was also dating Lamar Odom at one point?
Yes.
Okay.
She was married.
Married to Lamar Odom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then he went crazy.
Yeah.
Keep up with the Kardashians. Right.
They got splits filled.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Sad.
And now she's with the Tristan Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're super cute together.
Yeah, they probably.
Except they're not always together.
That now all of a sudden Tristan Thompson might have had another girlfriend.
Oh, I saw that pop up. Yeah.
I saw the video. It's so disturbing.
What's the video?
Well, first, in the video, he's making out with someone at a hookah bar, but that happened back in October.
Oh, a hookah bar. You know, you got the, you know, you're sucking on a pipe. There are all kinds of things that are going to happen.
Go right. Yeah.
You get a little loopy, all the smoke in the air.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a compromising video for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, 5 days ago or something, there was a girl coming in and out of his hotel.
Oh, dear God.
He was in New York playing whoever plays for New York. And then, Chloe was pregnant at home, just days away from giving birth.
Yeah.
She was back in Ohio.
Was she giving birth and he was away with the girl?
No, he ended up flying back home.
To L.A.?
Yeah, no, Ohio.
Because he's from the cast.
Chloe is living in Ohio with
him? Yeah, she moved there.
Did you hear that?
Can you believe that?
I can't believe a Kardashian is living in Ohio.
She's shown pictures of her house. It's on the lake, and it looks beautiful. But
yeah,
it does seem strange.
Nice,
so,
but
is, what does she say now about her boyfriend? Are they married?
No, they're not married. They're not anything. They just...
They're nothing. They're just having a kid again.
Well, I mean, they don't have an official title. They're roomies.
This is what's happened here. The other end of the spectrum is another breakdown in America. They're nothing. They're just having a baby together.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because the baby's going to be a billionaire, so it doesn't matter. Because Kanye is going to sell more shoes, and somehow Uncle Kanye is going to be able to afford the whole thing. Which Kanye is, by the way, getting wise to. Kanye's finally figuring out that this whole thing is a ruse just to make him the guy that, in case the whole enterprise comes falling down, they still have his music to fall back on because he's got royalty fees.
Yeah.
Maybe. You think he's realizing it, though?
I ain't saying she a gold digger.
So what's the baby's name?
So, do you want the big name reveal? Are you guys ready for it?
All right, here's the baby's name.
Okay.
True Thompson, which... and also backstory really quick. He met Chloe 3 months after his girlfriend at the time was pregnant, and then he had a baby with her, you know, who now is just about a year old.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets girls pregnant and then moves on.
Yeah.
And then
it's the NBA, baby.
Perez Hilton.
City to city.
Perez Hilton had the line, true, clearly not named after daddy.
Ouch.
You get it?
Perez
Hilton is really quite a writer.
He follows these things. This is his beat.
But it's just kind of depressing, too. It's not a true Thompson Kardashian.
Oh, I know. That's awful. That's because now how will we be able to know it's a Kardashian when it's on the TV show? How long is this going to last? I mean, honestly, God, how long do we have to care about these people?
So they still have a show that's on there.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's gigantic.
Spinoffs.
And it runs regularly?
First of all, we don't just keep up with the Kardashians. And we're going to keep up with the Jenners, right? They're more important.
Yeah. And then you've got, you know.
I'm a true believer of the original Kardashian cast.
Oh, you like that. True. I like how you worked it in.
So what's Kim doing these days?
Are you getting paid like Sean Hannity?
You need to reveal that, okay?
I mean, you need to reveal. If you're using the Kardashians' lawyer or, you know, maybe you got, I don't know, Seacrest as your agent or something, you better tell us right now.
So in this picture that Chloe just posted on Instagram, revealing the name and saying, Mommy and Daddy love you, True, there's a picture of a table, a coffee table with some books on it, you know, just probably for decor. But the book is on the side. It says Donald, which I don't know, like if she's reading the Donald Trump book or what.
Hmm.
I just kind of read into that. I like to inspect
these photos.
Wait, one of
her pictures is like her making out with...
that's her baby daddy.
That was 7 days ago?
Yeah.
So this was before he was kissing another woman?
Yeah, just the next day. TMZ released the video.
Oh...
Okay.
But everyone knows when you're having trouble in paradise, you release really nice pictures to like convince yourself you're not having trouble.
We're totally fine. Totally fine, everybody. We're making out here.
Yeah,
look at
us. Look at us here.
Yeah, happiest couple ever.
On the Insta Twitter. Here we are.
Yeah. It's kind of the kiss of death, isn't it? Didn't the president and Melania do that during the Stormy thing?
Well, they had the picture with the rabbit. I don't know if that was... Does that count?
No, they posed on the balcony there outside the window.
It's like, I'm really happy. I'm not crying on this. Right.
While she's stabbing him in the back with a knife. You don't see that part in this picture. They had
he's
a good
the one
run.
Who stabbed her in the back,
Oh, right.
Kevin.
Right, 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 right. So what's the deal? What's the dealio? Are they like breaking up or
we
what?
We don't know because right now they're not filming.
Ugh, the drama. I know.
I can't wait to find out.
Oh my God.
I think she actually did something very un-Kardashian and said she didn't want any cameras around for a couple of days because she's dealing with it.
Oh no.
I didn't know you were allowed to do that. No, does Mama Jenner know that?
Mama Kardashian? Right. She's going to fly to Ohio. She can only get away with that because she's in Ohio. She's going to fly to Ohio. We're going to put cameras in front of your grieving face because that's how we make money.
Start crying again.
We make money by doing stupid things with stupid people and having babies with them and then grieving it on television.
It's just hard because we were all so excited for Chloe finally getting pregnant. She's had some fertility issues, and then this has to happen right before she gets
pregnant. No, we were sorry about her. Doesn't she have kids? Does she have kids?
No, this is her first child.
Oh, I didn't know. She's the one.
Well, if you'd said that, then I would have
known. Now this is big.
She's wanted. She's wanted a family for a long time, 33.
Oh.
He's younger, though. He's 27.
When you drink 5 bottles of Vuv a day, it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough to have kids.
Hey, we don't know that to be true.
All right, 6 bottles.
All right. There we go. Martyr said that. I want Justin to have to deal with the legal part of this, not me. All right.
Allegedly.
So what? Let me ask you a question here. Now, Tristan Thompson's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they got themselves waxed yesterday in game one against Indianapolis.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Indiana.
Is LeBron still on the team?
He is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. LeBron's still on the team.
Was he sick?
No, he was there. Indiana's got a guy who is sick.
Really?
Oladipo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be something.
Two points or something.
Yeah. I think they're going to have they got their hands full. Now they got this baby drama. They got this baby mama drama in the locker room. That can't be good.
No, that's not good.
And what do we know if the girl that Tristan was making out with? And I can't believe I'm asking this question, but I'm actually trying to drown myself with this crap because I'm so sad today from everything else that's happened. Mm-hmm. That do we know that Tristan isn't from some other player's romantic interest?
Sabotage situation.
She's an Instagram model.
Star? Oh,
it's an Instagram model. It's somebody who takes pictures of themselves.
Well, right, but
you don't need to get paid by it.
Yeah, she does get paid, I think, for that. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard anything about her being connected to previous players.
Kev's got to look her up.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Do some research here.
She's okay.
Somehow the Kardashians are making me feel better right now.
Yeah,
maybe that's what they do.
Soothing about kind of sinking into their
that
plastic
is probably
world.
So stupid that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So, it has
you need
no
to go
meaning.
Stupid every once in a while. You just need to.
And it doesn't end well, no matter what. We know that's not going to end well.
So what's her name, Violetta?
Her name is.
Aren't you looking at her profile right now?
No, I'm not on it anymore. I was earlier.
Oh.
But she's claiming to be pregnant with his baby.
Oh gosh.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just doesn't stop.
Would that be like a triple double, Kev?
Something.
Yeah, double double.
Right?
That's a double double. I mean, that is definitely a double double.
Two-handed slam.
Yeah, if we're using basketball parlance here, I mean.
Miss Stephanie is her Instagram handle.
Oh, she's Miss Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Miss Stephanie.
Mhm. So, now how many buns in the ovens can you have? I mean, what's the maximum number of women pregnant at a time?
I think it's as fast as he can fly to the next city.
When you're not a Saudi prince. You know, I mean, it's okay there, I guess, but
yeah.
You know, or like sort of one of those, you know, sister of love. What do they call that? Like the Mormon thing? What is that deal? I mean, other than that, I mean.
Polygamy?
Yeah, but there's like your sister wife. What,
sister
you know,
wives,
how many
yeah.
sister wives can you give you pregnant at the same time? I don't know. But the point is that like in the NBA, that's the way they're living. That is is essentially what's happening.
They're not all living that way.
City to city.
Well, the thing
bouncing
is,
around.
Polygamy, they sign up for it. I mean, these girls.
I mean, he's dating Kardashian. Don't you think this other girl knows who that is? Like, probably sees them together.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and she has a heart of gold. What did she obviously doesn't care.
No, I guess not. All right. Can't find her on Instagram.
Oh no!
We'll look later.
These are some of the great tragedies. Thank God we've ended on.
She's not that great.
Oh my gosh!
Sounds like you hate her.
I don't hate her. I'm just saying from a center point, she's not.
In Camp Chloe,
hey,
Violetta.
I want to say, how did we get here is an excellent question, but look at where we are. This is all I want to say is we're already lost in the forest, and the feral wolves that are hungry are circling around us anyway. So we might as well start looking at Instagram to make ourselves feel better.
Go down watching the Kardashians. Gee, I hate going to getting my nails done because they always have the Keeping Up with the Kardashians on, and they will not change the channel even if you're the only customer in there.
They always have Fixer Upper on when I'm at the nail salon.
Even if something really important,
and I'm like,
come
on, I gotta wait till the end.
Hold that Chloe having baby. Shut up, everybody!
I gotta see the house.
I mean, we could be bombing Syria, and you ask them if you could just kind of switch over to CNN or whatever to watch it.
You're supposed to go
they
to
don't
relax,
do it.
Anna.
Just you know,
zone
but if something big
little.
Is happening.
Oh, the nail salons, they don't want to get nervous about immigration. I understand. All right. Right now, Martier, can you tell us what's coming up? All right. It's a sad day for this program, and especially for those of us who've been with this program, including me, for these many years that we lost a friend of the show, a personal friend, a guy that we spent a lot of time with and who made the people who got to know him and work with him better for knowing and working with him. And that's R. Lee Ermey. And Lee was a regular on this show for 10 years, essentially, from 1997 to 2007, started the tradition of the show doing Toys for Tots events, which went on we continue to do that to this very day here at WGN around Christmas time, and that's something that we started 21 years ago. So I want to remember Lee the way that so many Americans are remembering today. The scene that got him the Golden Globe nomination from Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive recruit training, you will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death praying for war. But until that day, you are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here. I do not look down on sir. Here you are all equally worthless. And my orders are to weed out all non-hackers who do not pack the gear to serve in my beloved Corps. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
Lee Ermey passed away yesterday at the age of 74.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.